بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome once again to all of you to the third season of Iftar for Soul in the 13th episode. Today we are walking on the same path as we are for the last two or three ayat, where we see the interaction of Muslims with other people of faith, especially the Jews, who are already living in Medina. And the ayah is short. However, it's an interesting way of putting in the same concept we were referring to earlier. Here the surah is again Surah Al-Baqarah, surah number 2, ayah 100. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Why is it that every time they make a covenant, a group of them casts it aside? In fact, most of them do not believe. Now, the open question in this translation is that with whom are they making a pact, right? So here, the translation of the meaning of the Quran by Abul Ala Maududi comes in handy, where he translates it as, is it not that every time they made a covenant with Allah, a party of them set it aside? So here, are those people, you know, we talked about them earlier, that once they had put into their minds that wisdom of the word of Allah, and then yet they again chose not to follow certain parts of it. So here, what Allah is doing again, he's reminding that the so the context here is that the mention of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mention of the coming of the last prophet, was known to not only to the Jews but also to the Christians, that there would be one last prophet coming, and Jews were even looking forward to that. What they could not accept that it came that prophet came from the lineage of the Arabs, and from the lineage which was not theirs. So now what happened here is that I can highly recommend you to watch the lectures of Dr. Ahmed Didat, Dr. Zakir Naik, where they quote with references from the books, you know, the Gospel and the Bible, the Torah and the Bible, where they talk about the where there are these hints and references made to the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here there were certain groups who made a covenant with Allah that yes, we will follow that Prophet when the Prophet comes. But then why they decided not to follow them? That's again, you know, that opens for an interfaith dialogue, right? That I am not qualified for that to talk about these things. But you know, there are debates online. You can look at. Please make sure that the debates are conducted by people of knowledge, by people who are, you know, people who are not scientists and discussing religion. Rather, you know, people who have studied religion, right? The rabbis, the priests, the imam, like the scholars, when they get into discussion, and there are plenty of those. You will find Dr. Omar Suleiman, for example, he has videos. Noman Ali Khan, he has videos. Dr. Yasir Qazi has one video with a evangelist priest who visits him in his church in Epic, the East Piano Islamic Center. So you will find a multitude of such interviews. So this is what Allah is mentioning here, that you know, you made a covenant with Allah, but a party of them set it aside. The first thought that comes to me when I read this rhetorical question is again the freedom of choice, right? Like Allah has given us the freedom to make a choice. And that is what is entirely celebrated in Islam, that you are free to choose what way you want to go. You are presented with different options, of course. You are presented with, okay, you know, you have this in front of you and you have the option B in front of you. Which one you take is up to you. And of course, there is a thing also called destiny Islam. I'm not going to talk about destiny and the predestination, the qadr. It's outside the scope of this podcast. However, keeping that aside for a while, we do have rights to exercise free will, because this is where, you know, the human responsibility kicks in. Like Allah makes us, he tells us that you will be held accountable for things that were under your control. Anything that was outside your control, you're not responsible for that. Henceforth, it is even more important to realize I think it plays a crucial role in our existence to see what we are powerful over. Right? And this is the mantra of these, you know, neo-spiritual people, neo-religious people who are like, yeah, you know your strengths, know who you are, see. let the universe take care of the things that you cannot handle. I have talked about my reservations with this whole concept of universe, but it's still, you know, what is universe at the end of the day? And how do you know there is this thing called universe? Anyway, I'm not going to get into that right now. So we need to see that, yes, we do have to take responsibility of our actions, but not only in religious matters, but also in all matters that we have in our lives, right? Like what's interesting here, what Allah says after he poses this question, in fact, most of them do not believe. That true belief comes with keeping up and upholding your covenant, regardless of that. Actually, there's a hadith of Prophet Muhammad, there's a saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he describes hypocrisy, what actually is hypocrisy. So the companion of the Prophet Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, among the signs of a hypocrite are three, even if he fasts and prays and claims to be a Muslim. So what are these three signs? When he speaks, he lies. When he gives a promise, he breaks it. And when he's trusted, he betrays. End quote. Now, hypocrisy is one of the gravest sins in Islam. Like the worst, one of the worst of peoples are those who are hypocrite in nature. Like they show you a different face in public, and then they are completely different when they go back into their cocoons. And I think this is where, you know, the disease of heart is emphasized, right? Like. Yes, it can happen that we may not be able to keep up the covenant, whatever. Who knows what kind of situation that person was. However, the effort has to be there to keep up the covenant. The covenants that we make. Actually, interesting. I have to mention the day of Miras. I think it's called. In English, it's translated as the day of covenant that we took. What Islam talks about, actually, when we all souls were created. Just a second, I'm Googling it right now. I think it's Arafah. Just a second, day of covenant, Islam. I know the ayah also. The verse of the covenant, the day of Allah, so exactly. The day of covenant is the day of Arafah, where we believe that when all the souls were created, Allah asked a question of Alastu Rabbukum, I guess the idea. Exactly. Yes. This is the Surah 7, and the ayah is from 172 to 174, and a part of that ayah goes, am I not your Lord? They said, yes. Yeah, verily we testify, we know and acknowledge that you are our Lord. So interestingly here also, when Allah created all the souls in Islam, we believe that he did not teach us that he's our Lord. Because when you ask someone, again, this is a rhetorical question we will look at when we go forward. It's just a prelude to the main rhetorical question afterwards. That Allah asks us this question, like he lets us use our mind to answer that question that Allah poses, am I not your Lord? And we answer that yes, we are. So this is also a covenant we took. So this, that's why every time when you read the Quran, you mention that many a times when Allah talks about when we are doing zulm, when we are being oppressive and unjust, in a way, when we reject the message of Allah, when we reject the Quran, that Allah says that you are being unjust and oppressive to yourselves, to your nafs. And why is it like that? Because we are oppressing in a way that we are not keeping up the covenant that we took. And this was the covenant we said when we believed and agreed and we, with our knowledge, we said, yes, you are our Lord. So here Allah points that out. That's why ala anfusihim is like upon ourselves. So we do wrong upon ourselves when we reject the message of Allah. So here you see that I really like this verse again, that you know, what actually is belief, right? Then belief is not when you when you play around with it, when you watch certain videos, when we watch certain movies, when you watch when you apply for certain organizations, when you apply for certain jobs or universities, you have to follow a code of conduct, right? And every time you break that rule or code of conduct, you could be expelled, you could be your degree could be canceled, you could be fired. So there's always a set of rules everywhere, right? Like, for example, I know it's not the best example, but even when you go to a restaurant, right, if you start, I don't know, if it's a fine dining place and you start using your hands and you put your feet on the chair, you will not be allowed to sit there probably, or you will be warned not to do that. You are required to act and dress a certain way. There is a guideline for each and everything we do out there. I think it's just this matters of the self, that when we are required to restrain it, when we are required to not do something what our hearts desire, we say that we are not free anymore. And then freedom is what is one of the dearest things that we have, that we hold really close to us, that we like to have that freedom. But Allah comes here and says that once you make a covenant, there is a 100% commitment to that is required. And even if there are some slips, it's fine. At least acknowledge that you made a slip. Come back to me, and everything is good. But of course, you know, if we do not realize what we have done, or example military, that, you know, you cannot imagine a military to run if everyone was free to do whatever they wanted to do, right? Like, no, I don't feel like doing this today in the morning, so I'm not going to do it. I feel you are torturing me, or it's against my free will that you are making me wake up at 5 a.m. and run 5 kilometers out there. So you see that everything that's crucial, everything that is very important, that is matter of life and death, and it has even more seriousness attached to it. For example, in engineering studies, you know, if there's a risk involved in with a harm to a human life, that's the highest risk that a machine can pose to the factory. And then there are lawsuits in place and whatnot, because the dignity and the sanctity of a human life and the protection of that is the utmost priority, this is why also Islam talks about that, right? Like I'll go back again to the first rhetorical question we dealt with, the life and death, and Allah says do not deny me, right? Like, this was the idea behind this. Like, how can you deny me when you look at life and death in front of you? So our existence is not just we're not just here out of nowhere. We're not here just because of a simple chance. There is much more to our existence. There's much more to our animalistic selves. There's a higher self. There's a self that teaches us how to be a better human. There's a self inside of us that is connected and that is in harmony with the unity in nature, and the owner of all of that, the owner of the universe, the owner of the nature, the owner of karma, and all of that is goes all back to Allah. Like, and you know, this is why I find it very unnatural when I read or when I hear that there's a multitude in the origin, or when there's a doubt in origin, because everything that is so carefully designed in the universe works flawlessly. If we look at the days and the nights, how they change, the seasons that come, the impacts that the seasons have, the blessings that they come with, the rain and the vegetation, everything that is out there in nature, which is playing by law of nature, is perfectly, and it's perfect in itself, and it's flawless. Then how can we as humans claim that we are just simply, you know, here to live our lives and not think about tomorrow and whatnot? This is what we have to focus on. So that's why I feel that the message behind this, again, you know, we talked about mu'min yesterday, and this is also the in the ayah Allah says bal aktharuhum la yu'minun, but most of them do not believe. So, you know, it's most of them means, it's interesting that Allah uses the word here, most of them, is because, like, it's very natural that we start to follow our desires. It's very natural that we follow what our self takes to, what is more pleasing to us. But then again, if we focus our shift on what on what is more fair and what is just to ourselves than to focus on what makes us feel good, we might have a different approach to life altogether. Therefore, as Muslims, we need to understand and educate ourselves in the responsibility that coexists with our covenants that we have taken with Allah. And by Allah, that extends to the creation of Allah. Like the covenants we take between ourselves as friends, as family members and whatnot, that we keep up. We keep up with what we decide. If we say, okay, this is the money that we are going to invest, and then again, like, you know, the other day I was coming back in a tuk-tuk, in a rickshaw, and then this guy was telling me like 8.5 million rupees. The guy that he invested the money with, he just ran away with that. Now this is one question I always ask myself when I listen to these stories, or when I do something unfair, when I break a covenant, I ask myself, why did not I remember my death at that point? Why do I forget that I will die at one day and none of this will remain with me? And one day it could be very soon, it could be not very soon. Who knows all of these things? That's why for me personally, this even the day of judgment even makes even more sense, because we will not have justice established here. What about all those atrocities that people could get away with in this life? They die and then what? They will not be held responsible for the damage they have done to generations, the damage they have done to people that come after them. Or you know, that's why I feel that this holistic approach is important when we try to understand our life and our death. And then our utterance of the belief in Allah and His Messenger should directly translate into form of action. Because without action, our iman is incomplete. It has to come forward. It has to show in ourselves, our kindness, our gestures, our generosity. So I hope Allah makes us one of those. Allah makes us people of knowledge, people of reflection, and people of the guided ones. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.